WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. Hello, everyone. That was me, and this is me again. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. We're happy to be here. My name is Luann Linekin.
And I'm James Rich.
Hi, James. And you're listening to WCNO. It's 5 p.m. on a Friday, 89.9. And this is Kingdom Recovery. And most of the time, 98% of the time, we're live teaching and sharing our experience, strength, and hope about how the 12 steps and the Word of God, the gospel, are intertwined and hand in hand, one with the Father, and how they're divinely inspired. So we are on step two. We finished up the fruit of the Spirit, which were the 9 fruits. I'll read that scripture. But before I do that, I want to say, if anyone would like to call me for prayer or questions or some literature, we have some books from Pastor Tom, who will be teaching next week. You can reach me at 631-745-7980, or you can even email me, Luann, Luann, +4@gmail.com. If you have any requests or anything, feel free to contact me. Or you could always call the radio station and they'll get to me. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I guess I wasn't as clear. So if you do want to reach out, you can reach out to the radio station and they would get in contact with me if they need to. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 5, and we'll start at 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So James and I were just giggling a little while ago because he had a thought. I was talking to him. I'm like, well, hello, James, where are you? And he's like, I was just thinking, because I was sharing with him that when Jesus was filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit brought him into the wilderness to be tempted, tested in the virtue, the character of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, all the fruit that we have everything we need we have all the supply we need for every situation of our life. But it's through our faith that we're able to, have revelation of it in our hearts. It's already there, but unless I open the package by faith, maybe that's the way to say it, all the presents are already there. I need to, that's why growing spiritually in faith, by hearing the Word of God is what gives me the revelation. It shows me what box I need to open for what situation. How's that? Right? So when the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, I was telling James, as a man, he was tempted to choose God's character, God's word, to defeat the enemy, right? As a man, because divinely, he would have just, you know, blew on the devil and he would have just disappeared. But James was like staring into space. So I was like, what are you doing? And share what you were thinking, because it was kind of funny.
I said, I never thought about it, but because the thing about it is we need a body to operate in this realm.
Amen.
And we don't realize, like, even demons, like, they attack us through emotions and thoughts, but it's like, I walked into a house once with a lady and a picture flew off the wall. The enemy was just mad I was walking in there. That's rare to see an enemy actually move an object. And she would talk about that all the time. And you're, oh, remember that time? I'm like, don't glorify anything he does. But that's a big thing, something a two-year-old could do because he doesn't have a body. And I do realize how we are the ones that have the body.
Amen.
You know, we live in this body and we can manipulate power in this realm. We ain't got to have somebody fast for 50 days trying to conjure up a demon to be able to move an object 2 inches. You know what I mean? It's like we're the ones that got the power.
The authority.
And we've been given the kingdom. The Bible just shows that what we've been given when we get saved, we're not trying to get it.
Right.
It's what we've been given. And when she was talking, I was like, I never thought about the fact that Jesus is here in a body and Satan's over there without a body. And yeah, he's getting people to do stuff, but like he was so limited without a body.
Right.
He had to manipulate people. So the whole thing is kind of like a 2-year-old showing up to Mike Tyson in his prime. You know what I mean? Like, I picture Satan going, this ain't fair. You got a body. Like, that's what I started imagining was that situation at that time going, oh my God, I'm screwed. This isn't fair. Like him thinking that in his head as he's trying to tempt him.
Right.
And that's why she's like, what are you doing, James? I just started running off in my head with that. Like, yeah. Wow, I never thought about Amen. That till Amen. Right that moment.
Amen. And that's why it's important that we understand that Jesus was a man who had to go through everything we go through, and he's our power of example. The power in him is the same power that is in us, but only by faith can we understand that. It's the revelation power. It's knowing the Holy Spirit's the only person that can give us revelation of the gifts and the promise and the word of God that we have. You know, I went around a long time. I shared this last week and even in meetings, when I go to meetings, that I was in the meetings for a long time saying I had a higher power. And I did believe Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but I didn't have a relational relationship with him. So I had, you know, a natural knowing of him through other people's, you know, through religion, through what other people believed. And even, you know, one sponsor had said to me, well, if you struggle with God, think of God as a woman. You know, so like, it's crazy, like how we could be misled very easily wherever we are, you know. And for a long time, I would tell you, and eventually it was not a woman. It never worked for me. God was, you know, God. But I would tell people, I love God. You know, I love God. He's my higher power. I love God. But I didn't know him relationally, like in a relationship way. I only knew him in a reading way. Maybe I'll even say in a biblical way, not like in a spiritual one-on-one, spirit-to-spirit way. In a biblical way, when I say a biblical way, I mean like what the word says as it, you know, like more like he's God and I'm just listening to the word, you know. So I guess I would say it maybe that, because biblical is very important, but it's more spiritually biblical principles, spiritual principles for me today. Not if you do these things, you will get these things. If you don't do these things, you won't get these things. You know what I mean? So I think it's really important that we understand when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was a man that was just like we are, being tested in spirit. Like, what is going to rise above? Is he going to allow his natural man and ability to submit to temptation, you know, or is he going to rise above that in his spirit? The spiritual is what we need to be walking by, walk by spirit, not by sight, right? Not by our natural senses. So, and it is difficult especially, this is why this step is so important, because I can't do step three and turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him or understand him if I don't even know him, because I'm not going to trust and have faith that he will take care of me. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit job is to lead and guide us and teach us and reveal who God is to us in the Word, not just in a religious sense, but in a relational sense. That's what the Holy Spirit does for me. When I read the Bible today, it's not a rule book. It's a love book. It's how much he loves me. You know, it's not like, oh, this is, you know, it is definitely an instructional manual. When I'm not right, I can go in there and that's where my supply is. And he can reveal to me what I need to maybe speak out against what's trying to come in the opposite direction. Pull me.
If you're competing to play professional baseball and someone gave you the manual, told you how to do everything perfectly, we would not look at that as, oh man, I can't do this, you know, knowing it's not going to be good. It's like everything in the Bible, it's an instruction manual. If you love me, you'll obey me. But all those things are things that are blessings to us if we do them.
Amen.
You know?
It's all out of love. The whole thing is out of love. You know, and when
and
we can shift that,
from
getting
ran over by the enemy.
When we can shift our hearts from our heads to our heart, we can see him clear and we can really know him intimately. So we went through all of them last week, and I want to start with Matthew 4:1-11, where Satan tempts Jesus, okay? And that's when then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the devil took him to these places, you know, like. And sometimes we feel like, how did I find myself up in this place? You know, it's because there's something to be growing, in us that needs to be dealt with, I believe, you know, and we get an opportunity. I call it an opportunity today, not like, woe is me, why is this happening to me? It's an opportunity to choose life, you know, and to choose God's way, kingdom minded. Way of speaking, thinking, and acting. So he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, thou throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain. And we talked about that, you know, on earth, the highest place, the closest place, I guess, earthly place, like on the earth, is a mountain to the heavenly realm. But God wants to bring us above those things in the spiritual realm. Okay, so in the natural, the highest place I can get, naturally, not in a plane. I'm not talking, that's not me standing on something, because it's my feet that have the authority and power on the earth. You know, that I can say, well, that's why we want to puff ourselves up. And that's why it says in that reading in Galatians, don't let pride or envy, those things, because those are the things that take us out. Me first, me, you know. Take the focus off of others and God, and we are consumed by our own self, devouring ourselves. So it says that he took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you. And the reason why he's saying he will give it is because Adam gave the lowercase g, God, Satan, power and authority on the earth. That's why Jesus had to come as a man to get it back, to get the power, authority back, defeat the enemy. It's already done. But we live as though it's not. A lot of times, we're living a life where we're being tossed to and fro, basically. So it says, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Hallelujah. So it's the same thing about resist the devil, and then the devil flees. You got it. There's a part that we must play as human beings, because that's where the power and authority comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit can manifest himself in the man body, our body. The power and authority of God can manifest only in the man body.
And the enemy attacks through anywhere he gets in disobedience. And that's why the first part of that is submit to God, resist the devil. And most people are submitting to the enemy and rebuking the enemies. They're in unforgiveness, but they're rebuking the enemy in this other area. And it's not working. They don't know why the enemy don't listen. Because when you're in unforgiveness, or when you're in sin, I'm saying that's his legal right. Obedience is key. The enemy is scared to death. I was just telling someone that on the way here. The enemy is scared to death of anybody obedient.
Yeah.
Because that is the major.
And let me say this. It's self that chooses. So self is the problem. Okay. It's not even the enemy. We're giving the enemy permission. But it starts with me. So when I'm in a situation, I got to look at what does myself say about me, believe about me, think, you know, is it a lie? Am I feel threatened? It's the self part. That's why the natural man or the spirit man. Now, the spirit man is fully equipped. But if I'm in my natural self, I'm going to feel lack. I'm going to feel a desire to manipulate, kill, steal, destroy to get my way. This is what the second step is, fully equipping us with the Holy Spirit power and authority to be able to turn our will over to the care of God and be in agreement with God so that we can move forward in a healthy, with all the fruit, in a healthy way, prosperous, and expand the kingdom of God. It's kingdom mentality we're talking about. It's a whole different type of mindset. Okay, we are either influenced by natural spiritual influence. That means I use natural resources, what other people, astronomers and all that, right? Horoscopes, seesayers and, you know, all those things, or tarot cards, or even retreats, that yoga. I mean, these are the things that we're looking for, but really in the only spiritual right, good influence is the Holy Spirit, divine spiritual influence. And the only way you can get divinely spiritually influenced is by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. And that's step one. So see how 1, 2, and 3 are all going to be very entwined. We can't really move forward successfully, peacefully, joyfully, in our most excellent way in life without that understanding that you must be born again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a union with him, complete in God. Spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, oneness.
Yeah, and just know the enemy attacks us in our landing strips, and he knows our land strips because he made sure he put them in there when we were growing up. And so there is areas that we have a hard time with us because he's created a landing strip, or it could even be a generational thing we need to repent of sometimes. Like I had a major fantasy lust thing, even though I wasn't even going out with a woman for like 10 years, but these things would play in my head all day. I'd even go out and confess them in church. And I didn't know anything about demons, and they'd pray and nothing would happen. And then 13 years later, when a woman was fasting 40 days for me when I was under an attack, I got delivered of speech impediment. I got delivered of lustful thoughts and several things. I just didn't have a clue. That's right. What that was.
But it took that revelation. People can fast and pray and do all that. If we get delivered, we can easily get delivered. Deceived again if we don't take ownership of ourselves and make healthy choices to line up with God. During that time, there was revelation of, wait a minute, you know.
Well, I battle it all the time.
Amen. And then you got, then you realize you got that freedom. You're like, wait a minute. You know, and you investigate.
Well, I knew instantly the first day is
praise
gone.
Praise God.
Because it just played.
Yep.
Regardless of what I did.
Amen.
I'd be working, trying to add. And
no, but I do believe the more awareness we become of ourselves and who we are in Christ and Him, you know, those things have less of a chance to manipulate us.
Yeah, or, that's what I'm saying. There is generational things that some people don't know why they have.
And that's why it's important we get educated.
Yeah.
Because
like the speech thing, I had no idea that was, I tried to talk up and do everything. They tried to put me in classes and all that stuff. But the second I left, I was talking normal, you know. Yeah.
Revelation is so important. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that kind of revelation where we absolutely can walk in peace and freedom and joy and defeating sin. We don't have to sin, you know. So, and if we do, we have a way out. You know, you just repent and you would know it because, like you said, immediately you knew the difference. So when it, if it tried to come back on you, you would immediately know because you had freedom.
Spirit, yeah.
You taste freedom.
I just know it's a spirit.
Amen. You
because taste. I wasn't, a, you know, I wasn't messing with any women or nothing. I was not going into the sin part of it, but it was just there. I didn't know it wasn't me.
Amen. Amen. That's why it's important that we learn these things. And, you know, there's in the Bible, it teaches us about spiritual sins and you know, things that we do and what they cause, harms they cause on us. You know, Deuteronomy. There's so many chapters that teach us about behavioral, generational or self-inflicted harm.
Yeah, is it basically just your will or is it a stronghold?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Yep. There's a big difference.
Amen.
That's why we do wrestle when it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Nope.
So there is a wrestling sometimes.
So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is in common, as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, hallelujah, that you may be able to bear it. So just know His word is the way out. So it's up to us to seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, His way of thinking it, speaking it, and He will fulfill the supply, which means whatever it is for that situation, everything you need will be supplied. Not only your basic needs, He would do that too. He does that. I mean, if you really look at, I know for myself, at my life, whenever I felt like, oh my God, how am I going to get that? Or what am I going to do? If it's God's plan, if it's His will, He's going to fulfill, which gives me a lot of peace these days. Really, it does. Because even like planning that I'm going to be somewhere, I'm not in a rush. If it's God's will, He's going to make the way. All I have to do is say, yes, you know, I'm already in agreement. When it's His timing and His will, it'll flow properly. That's where it's always where peace is. If you're not feeling peace, you're not in the right flow. So we have to choose to be dominated by flesh or spirit. It's our choice. He gave us free will. That's a lot of power here on earth to choose either life or death, love, hate, flesh or spirit, natural or spirit, world or word. It's up to us. We don't fight against flesh and blood, like James is saying. We surrender to the Holy Spirit. All right? A life change is evidence of a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. True intimacy with God is oneness, knowing Him, intimate. It's love. You know, I was talking to my daughter yesterday, and it's so funny because they're like one. And I said to her, I said, I feel like this is like what God's trying to teach us. Because Michael had to go literally to the neighbor to do something. And he said, are you coming with me? Like, I'm like, Anna, tell him to knock on the wall when he gets there. Like, we got to do everything together. I said, you know something? And she was like, yes, I'm coming with you because they like to be together. I said, that's like what God wants for us, to be with Him always. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we were giggling. But it's true. It's oneness. And I was sharing with her. That's what God's saying. I'm one with you. You're one, Jesus. We're one with Jesus. He's one with the Father. And we're all one together. Hallelujah. So you can have all the gifts, talents, and anointing from God, but without the fruit of the Spirit, right, without love, it's nothing. Peace, nothing. Joy. It goes to, because we leave here, we don't need the gifts and talents. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. So God's character, his love, is only produced by relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's, the Holy Spirit impregnates us. Over, you can have many, many babies of love, many, many babies of joy, many, many babies of patience, right? So the flesh produces and has desires and thoughts also. So we have to be aware of this, that our natural man can sow seeds. You know, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, you heard it, maybe that's 6, you heard it said this way, but I say it this way. He's saying the world says this, but I say in the Spirit, we say this in the kingdom. So we have to choose. Are we going to be in the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God? In Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual, and this is what we sow in the flesh. If we choose to, if like James was saying, he didn't even realize he was doing it because it was a generational thing, but he was constantly sowing because every time he thought about it, another seed, right? And the fruit, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So we can either choose to sow the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh. It's up to us, the natural man or the spirit man. Okay, and I had a little vision about, was doing something, and God said, it's like you live in the castle, but you still want to think like the streets. You know what I mean? Like you want to think like you're in the alley. That's what a lot of people are suffering from. He brings them into the castle, the kingdom. In the castle, not just in the kingdom. We could live in a valley in a kingdom, but in his castle. And we still want to talk, act, think like we're in the valley, in the alleyway. So he wants us to renew our mind, because our mind is still the natural way when we come in, when we're born again. Renew our mind, and then we get transformed into his image and likeness as kingdom citizens. Once you start to know who you are in Christ, it's hard to get offended, because it's not, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's like a repellent. It bounces right off of you. If somebody says it, whereas years ago when I was in my natural, years ago, it could have been even a month ago, a week ago. But immediately I'm like, wait a minute. Why would I think about that? I'm thinking about it a little too much. I must be into something. You know what I mean? Because peace, it's over. Done. You know? So when we are in spirit with God and we know who we are and we know whose we are, then we don't have to grab that gift of offense, because those are gifts too. People want to get, hey, I got you a pretty gift of jealousy.
The day I'm only doing as good as you're treating me is the day I'm just wide open to the enemy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So Ephesians 2:1-3 says, by grace, and this is the character and virtue of God, right? His grace through faith. It says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air. We talked about that, right? The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. So if I'm still in that envy, jealousy, pride, I'm in the passion of my flesh, carrying out the desires of the body. So when I'm in the passions, in the natural mindset, my body, I'm going to act out with my body. That's what it's telling me. And the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So what is passion? It's a strong and barely controllable emotion. It's like self-will run riot. You're out of control. All you're thinking about is how you can please yourself, you know, and you'll do it at any cost. So Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because the Spirit is against the flesh. And it says that, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is against the fruit of the flesh. And in Galatians 5, we read that. And you can read for yourself. And I suggest you do. Because the Holy Spirit has something to say to each one of us about when we read the Bible. About where we're at. I don't know where you are at. You don't know where I'm at. But when I'm with the Holy Spirit, he knows where you're at. And he knows where I'm at. And he knows exactly what word might need to pop up out of that scripture for me. Because I maybe am guilty of it. Or maybe he's saying, see, that's what you're doing. You're expressing me to other people. So God says, choose wisely, choose life, spirit, or you can choose death, the flesh, the natural. You could be in spiritual influence either by the natural things supply in the world or by supernatural things, divinely inspired by the word. Fruitful growth in the faith. 2 Peter 1:5-7 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So when you do diligence, you're adding virtue. To virtue, knowledge. When you add virtue, you're getting knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. So the more we know, like when we get that deliverance, or when we understand generational stuff, or when we understand the difference, what does God say about this situation, and what is the old messages or the world say, or my old belief system say about this situation? Right? When I'm armed with the facts, knowledge, I can make a better decision, right? Self-control, that will make me of sound mind, sober-minded. To self-control, perseverance. Once I understand, I'm peace of mind, I can persevere. I can have patience and tolerance to the end. And to perseverance, godliness. And that's the image and likeness of God. That's being set apart holy for that purpose. God will call you. He called Ananias, we'll use him as an example, to go pray on Saul, who became Paul, is Paul. His transformation was Paul. But I'm sure he was like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Saul was after them. But he said yes to him. And he had to, that spiritual growth, diligence, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and godliness. And godliness to brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. So love is the end product. So he even prayed on, he had to touch that man. I'm sure he was trembling when he had to lay hands on
him. Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. I think I'm pretty sure, I'd have to go look it up, I'm pretty sure he's the one that the angel did not say, fear not. Like everyone, every time the angel shows up, it's like, fear not, because the people are scared. Yeah. But I think he's the one, he did not say fear not. Like when he showed up, he wasn't afraid of the angel. Like he evidently was having some encounters before that one.
Uh-huh. Amen. So God reveals himself to all who choose to seek him. He's faithful. He's going to be there. He's there. You seeking him is going inside in that private place in your heart with to him. Romans 1:20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived even since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. So there's evidence all around us that God is. The bottom line, just look around. Nature, that's his nature. Creativity, all these things are his. It's who he is.
Just study an eyeball and see everything it does. And,
amen.
And try and figure out, you think that just
right
was happen chance.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So Jesus never called the disciples to change their character. He called them to follow him. He didn't say, okay, I need everybody to rush straight out here. He said, follow me. And if you follow Jesus, it will start to happen. You know, it's not something like you have to work to do. I mean, as you follow him, you have to be discipline. There are things that you're going to have to make choices on, but these things will start to change in you and about you. as you follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will sanctify you and transform your character, your life, your being, into the image and likeness of God. So the Holy Spirit works on attitude, not actions. Okay? We have to choose to walk by faith. With gifts, you will impact others. God imparts gifts. With fruit, you will feed others. God develops and grows your fruit. Okay? So we impact people with our gifts. And God's the one that gives us those gifts. And with the fruit, you will feed others. You want to have a lot. You want to have a plentiful multitude of fruit to feed. Like he fed the fish. He fed the multitudes. We want to be able to do that.
And we've said this, but in case anybody's new listening, gifts are like imparted instantly, just given with no God, just who he chooses. And the fruit is something we grow, that we work on and we develop. And through his grace, you know, we get patience, love, and kindness, and long-suffering, just and these like things. So,
amen, amen. So God gives us an opportunity every day to grow, to feed, to pray, to teach, to lay hands on the sick, to, you know, do deliverance. He gives us, you know, there was something else he was going over with me, because I'm always talking to him about certain scriptures, and he's like, I feel like this is the way God tells me. He goes, Jesus told the disciples to go and teach and preach and lay hands. He didn't say where, when, why, how. He said, you go and do it. Don't bring anything with you, because love is spontaneous. I'm spontaneous. He's sovereign. Don't get me. I'm not saying that. But when there's an opportunity, he says, I will call you by name. Just like that's why Ananias came up in my mind, because Ananias wasn't saying, I think I'm going to go, I heard what happened, or, you know, I'm going to go do something for God. He was spontaneously called by God, and he had to make a decision to spontaneously go and drop everything and go there. Okay, that's what love does. Love's not planned. It just is. Love is. So when God calls you, it's to love, and he might use patience to love. He might use deliverance to love. He might use prayer to love, a word to love. Just listen, and he will supply how he's going to express himself, his love, through you. Okay, and that's step two, complete. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit. We have everything. We have all the supply we need to be able to step into step three. We'll do a little bit of the beginning of it while... How much time? Yeah, we have some time. So we'll do an introduction of step three. Okay. And step three is the principle of step three is faith. So now we have everything. Now we have to start to make a decision. Okay. You know, we're going to believe that we're fully equipped, and that God gave us everything we need. So the third step says made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as I understand him, or we understood him. And let me say that we understood him. Is that better? That we understood him was an afterthought. It originally was made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. As we understood him was an added part of that step. So the third step prayer is the third step prayer. And we say this in our program, you know, in 12-step programs. We were now at step three, and this is in page 63 of the big book. And I'm reading it because it's very divinely inspired. And and it's important, because I was doing this in the natural for many, many years. Then I got born again, and it became a divinely inspired, supernatural way of understanding this. Okay, we can understand in the natural many things. I can read things, I can learn things, I can experience things in the natural. But when you have divinely influence in your heart, inside of you, everything looks different. Everything smells different. Everything is heard differently, because you're using your inner senses, your inner man, your spirit man. Okay, it says, we are now at step three. Many of us said to our maker, as we understood him, And he doesn't, as long as, it, you know, we call him, he's God. I mean, the centurion. And I'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Saul loved God, but it wasn't Jesus, you know, and the centurion. We're going to talk about it. Isn't, God will meet you where you're at with him. He knows you're seeking him. He'll meet you. Okay, so it says, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self. There's the problem. And even in groups and 12-step programs and in, if you go to individual therapy, we're always dealing with the self, okay? Whether it's messages, belief systems that, you know, even trauma alters our views and our beliefs, okay? And we want to get back to the truth about really what that is. So that I may better do thy will, God's will. Take away my difficulties, and those would be my shortcomings, the things that cause me to stumble and fall, that victory over them, and he has with the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I receive the Holy Spirit, I now have the victory. But my faith needs to grow, and I have to believe in order to receive in manifesting it in my life, in my soul. My spirit has everything. I already received all the gifts, but if I don't open it, I can't use it. It's just a gift on the floor or on a table. But once I open it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. I can use this. This is a beautiful diamond ring of patience. I need this. You know? So take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. So I say Father, Son, Holy Spirit right there. Spirit, power, Jesus is God's love, and the way of life of God. All right? May I do thy will always. So we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at least abandon ourselves utterly to him. So there it is. You know, we say die. You know, that's the term that people say, die to self. It's really the old man thinking. It's already, he's already dead, but we are like God was telling me, we still want to utilize that, those traditions, those beliefs in a different position. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So we're not in that place anymore, in that same place. We're in the kingdom now. So when I want to, you know, act upon selfish needs, it just doesn't work. In the world, you can get away with it. You know, it feels like it works, but deep down inside, you're empty. So you're not being fulfilled. But in the spirit, the only way is his way, God's way. So we found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor. But it is better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. This is so key, because people are being led in all different directions because they don't even have a relationship with God, you know? And so we have to be very, very, go pray to him yourself. The wording was, of course, quite optional. So as long as we express the idea, voicing it without reservation, this was only the beginning. Though honestly and humbly made, in effect, sometimes a great one, was felt at once. We say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Very quickly I knew my life has changed. My life was changed. I was born again very quickly because I was so slow getting there. I was so slow. So I guess I was like, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Who am I kidding? I was very slowly getting there. But when it happened, it felt so like, oh my gosh, I knew the difference, because it wasn't everything I believed it to be that would make me holy, spiritual, or whatever, getting sober, you know, going back to school, all those things. I thought that's what's going to make me go to heaven and be a good person and be functioning. You know, and then all of a sudden I'm doing these things and then I get born again and it was a whole other level. Hallelujah. So loving God to the best of our human ability. natural being is limited. And but we can do that, like Saul did, you know, to the best of his natural ability. And before I was born again in AA and in my family and at church and, you know, traditions, I was doing that. I was loving him to the best of my natural ability. I really believe that with all my heart, that I was loving God. Okay, but it was in a natural sense. So, and I was also, because I was not divinely inspired or allowing, even when you're born again, you can still choose to naturally operate in the natural and not be loving the way God wants to love, not be patient the way God wants to be patient, you know, wants us to be patient. So it's only through the Holy Spirit submitting, surrendering my way, my will, my natural ability to God for his supernatural, to, so that my spirit can be one with his spirit and supernaturally be inspired to operate the way he calls me to be, the original plan. So Saul in Acts 9:1-6, let's talk about him for a little bit. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for him for a letter to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, it's very different than I'm going that way. It's the way. It's the only way. There's only one way, the way, Jesus Christ. When men or belong to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why? Who are you, Lord?" He says this. He sees Jesus. "Who said you, Lord?" Right? Saul asks. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." Hallelujah. So, I mean, before I recognized Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as God, the Messiah, I think I felt the same way. Like, Jesus? Like, you, I thought I knew you. You know, I heard about you. I grew up in Catholic school. I did all these things, but I didn't. When it was a big revelation for me, you know, because I put him as a man, or a man that really did some really wonderful things on earth, you know. And when you understand that the shift, it changes everything. So Saul had a deep faith and lived his life, his fleshly life, not in the spirit, but his natural man, according to Judaism. He was a very religious man. He knew the Torah. He knew the word. He was very educated. Not only was Saul a citizen Jew, but he was a Roman citizen, which was very rare. But you see, God chose him for that reason, because he was going to use him in Rome too. And when he got arrested, because he was a Roman citizen also, he had like double dual citizen. Well, now he has three citizens. But, you know, God is so good. Everything you are is for his use. You know, everything, if you just look at your life right now, everything that you've done in your life, everything you experience, everything you've learned is given to God, and he will show you why. You know, where we're like, why? Why is this up? Give it to him and he'll show you why. He will answer the question, right? So he was very, very zealous and devotion. He had great devotion to God, causing him to reject Jesus so much that he was like, this man is going against God, because he knew the word, the Jewish traditions. And, you know, like, very similar to Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee that was a highly respected teacher. You know, it's like one of our famous teachers today being, you know, and I believe.
Paul was very zealous.
Yeah, zealous, very zealous. So after Jesus' death, the resurrection and resurrection, Jesus appeared to Saul. Saul may have been asking God questions. I wrote this down about truth. He was probably like, I don't know, God, these people. are they doing? Who's this Jesus guy? Why is he? Just think about him walking, like going to Damascus on the horse or whatever he was doing. Just say, I can't believe I got to do this. You know, and he was probably questioning about truth, the way of life and purpose of life. What, you know, what am I supposed to do? And on the road to Damascus, Saul was presented with his answers, just like us. I'm sure he was debating with God, you know, discussing how could this man be doing this, because he loved God. And then he was presented with his answer by Jesus. He was answered with, what is the truth? I'm sure he was questioning the truth, like God. You know, who is this guy? Why is he saying these things? What's right? What's true? And then the way, you know, I know you my whole life. I know this way. We've had traditions for since the beginning of time. And now we have this man coming in. And then the life. Whose life? Who is this guy? And why am I here? You know, we ask these questions. And then you have Ananias, who was called to lay hands and minister to Saul, who was now Paul, because he was transformed, right? Because Ananias was of the faith in who Jesus Christ is. So he was able to share again.
And there's two Ananiases in the Bible, just in case you're listening. Because there's Ananias and Sapphira, and those are two different people.
Yeah, he's the one that hid the...
And he lied about how much money he hid the property. He didn't have to give any money. He gave half.
And then there was Ananias, the disciple. So, and the disciple, Jesus called him, the angel told him to go and lay hands and give him back his sight. I believe that Saul was being ministered while he had no sight for those days until Ananias got there.
He was so zealous, I think, letting him sit there for a few days blind, realizing I could be blind the rest of my life. Amen. Like that would be some serious thinking time and praying.
Amen. So, and you know, Ananias was expanding the kingdom of God to Saul, who's now Paul, right? And building God's church on the rock. That's what he was doing. That's what we're all called to do. We're all called to bring people in, even the ones that are really scary and ugly. You know?
They make the best ones.
Amen. And now let's
talk. The ones I get.
Yay. I feel like I get the real difficult ones too, you know? All right. So we'll talk quickly about Cornelius. And that's in Acts 10:2-4. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what? What is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And then Peter knew, he got the vision of, you know, eating meat, not eating meat, like the Gentiles are going to get brought into the kingdom. So that's why he went and he ministered to not only Cornelius, but to Cornelius' family, to all the people that work for Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Roman soldier. You know, he had a high-ranking position in the Roman Empire. So Peter knew on this rock I will build my church was the faith in whom Jesus is. So he went and preached the faith, the way, the life of Jesus Christ to Cornelius. All right, and Matthew 16:15-19 says, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And that's the faith of who Jesus Christ is. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. I'm going to stop with that scripture, and I'm going to just share that. So this is the third step for us. We might be in that place of, I love God, I know God, I pray, I go to church, I do these things, but we're really living in a religious way, like a Cornelius way or a Saul way, you know? And it's really the infilling of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit, but we have to give him permission to lead and guide us and to teach us and to give us, because he's the only one that can give us the divine revelation and to operate through us to be able to get the supplies that's already in us out of us. So when in the third step, made a decision to turn my will, it's just a decision, but I have to know what my decision's based on. Truth. If I believe God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, loves me and will supply all my needs according to his way, his riches, right? Then it's easier for me to turn my will over because his will is so much greater than mine. And his supplies are so much greater than mine. And there's not a person in the world that can love me more than God. So no matter where I look or what I try to fill myself up with, it'll never exceed what God already's done. It's already in me. And that frees us up to be able to do the things that he calls us to do. Because we're not looking for others, people, places, and things to fill us anymore. But if I don't have confidence in who I am in Christ and who he is to me, right, in his word, and I don't believe his word, and I have some doubt, I'm going to struggle with turning my will over. And that's the struggle of life. It's self-will run riot. So with that, James, we're going to do this prayer. We're going to lead people. And this is,
yes, if you've been listening and you don't know the Lord and you would like to surrender and ask him into your heart, then just repeat after me, and this is just the way you come into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you rose the third day.
I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
And I surrender to you.
And I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, I and turn also, the will of my life over to you.
Go ahead, yeah. James. And also, if you're listening in and you're wondering, you want to go further with the Lord and feel like you should be doing things, just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Help me with any selfish ambition.
Help me with any selfish ambition.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless.